the Sportscast, February 11th, 2022, the Friday before the Super Bowl. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch.tv, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker, Play Sportscast, and it's there. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. Also, visit thesportscast.net and get our app, thesportscast.net. We're still not done talking over what happened to Championship Sunday last weekend, where the Bengals upsetted the Kansas City Chiefs last week in Arrowhead Stadium, something that people were saying that could have been a possibility, but I would say 80% of the country were saying that the Chiefs were going to win, but they lost in overtime 27-24. And join us to, after a couple days of mourning, he's able to talk about it today, maybe going through a therapy session. Jeff Favre, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thanks, Santiago. I appreciate it.
So, Jeff, of course, you know, McPherson, the Bengals kicker, is 58% of the offense, apparently, because he wins the games and takes the Bengals to the next angle. Obviously, we'll talk about the Super Bowl a little bit later in the show, but tell me your thoughts of what happened on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, the first half kind of went, you know, kind of how I expected. I thought the Chiefs would have success as long as they stayed patient, you know, because the Bengals were going to do what a lot of teams have done to the Chiefs, and that's just drop back and play coverage, you know, not blitz, and, you know, force you to take the small gains, you know, not give up the explosive plays. You know, they did get the one explosive play early in the game to Hardman, and then I guess they had one to Tyreek Hill too, but yeah, I mean, the first half, the Chiefs were patient. They were, you know, they ran the ball, they threw a lot of short passes, and then they took their shots when they were there. And, you know, I think that was the recipe to be successful. And defensively, I mean, you knew eventually the Bengals were going to score just because they have a lot of weapons too. And their offensive line is not good, but they have a lot of quality players. You know, Chase is a big time player. Higgins is a big time player. Mixon is a very good running back.
Eli Apple.
On defense, yeah. We'll get into that. But, you know.
Go ahead.
And then Burrow is just so good at getting it to the open guy. You know, he doesn't force the ball a lot. So the first half kind of went how I expected it. You know, and then I really think – I hate to say this, but even watching the game live, when the Chiefs botched that last play before the half, so you can blame a lot of things there. I don't know why. I don't necessarily have a problem with going for the touchdown, because if you go up 28-10, there's a really good chance, you know, that just completely takes the wind out of the Bengals' sails. So I don't necessarily have a problem with going for the touchdown there.
And also, keep in mind, they had the same deficit or like the same surplus when they played in week 17 in the regular season. It was a 11-point gap, which I thought was a red flag.
Well, and I mean, maybe that's part of why you stay aggressive, because you know the Bengals' offense is eventually going to do something. So you try to, you know, get a larger lead. But, I mean, there's a lot of things to point out here. First of all, I would say the one thing that gets overlooked, early in the game, the Chiefs' first drive of the game, the Chiefs got an obvious first down. They got the first down by like a full yard, and the officials just botched it. So the Chiefs had to use a challenge to get that call right. But the bigger part of that is, for some inexplicable reason, Andy Reid took a timeout before throwing the challenge flag. So they just used the timeout for nothing. And I don't know why that happened, if it was just a communication error or what happened, but so then you get down to that last play and you don't have any timeouts. Now, I would say this, the way the Chiefs offensive line was playing against the Bengals front, I guess you can't really run it there because you don't have the timeouts. But man, if you had that timeout, you absolutely run it at least one time, because you were just dominating the Bengals up front. And then a lot of things went wrong in that play, man. I mean, Kelsey's open for the touchdown. And I don't know why Mahomes didn't make the throw, because that's a throw that he makes, you know, 100 times and doesn't think about it. And then Tyreek Hill, if you look at it, like, everyone blames Mahomes for throwing it. And it wasn't a good throw to Hill. I understand that. But Tyreek took a bad angle on the route, was like backpedaling instead of running towards the pylon. And then Mahomes kind of threw it behind him. So everyone gets on Andy Reid's case, including me. Like, I'm not saying he was flawless. He screwed up with the timeout and, you know, the second half play calling you can question. But, you know, the players really let him down, because Andy Reid decided to stay aggressive and trust his players, and then his players just tripped and fell on their face, because the play was there. You know, the play to Kelsey was there, the play to Hill was there. And truth be told, if Mahomes didn't like the throw to Hill, the throw to DeMarcus Robinson might have been there late, because there was no pressure on the play. So it's hard to blame the coach for calling a play that gets at least two guys open for a touchdown, and you just don't make the play. So then you get into the second half, and it just felt as though, you know, from a Chiefs perspective, defensively, you know, you give up a touchdown on a short field, and then you give up one touchdown drive. I don't think that is terrible. They only give up one touchdown. It was a short field. They give up one touchdown in each half. So they only give up one touchdown the second half. And it was on a short field because, again, Mahomes threw that interception that just was just awful. I mean, I just don't know what he was doing. So it's hard to blame the defense. Now, devil's advocate would say, you know, how many times did they have Burrow with a chance to sack him and they just didn't finish the job? You know, one thing that I saw, Chris Jones was constantly causing problems, but Burrow was able to escape because the other guys weren't keeping their rush lanes. You know, there was the play that really sticks out to me is the one late in the game on the final drive, the final field goal drive by the Bengals. You know, Chris Jones is starting to wrap up. And there's just nobody to help. Like, Burrow gets away and both defensive ends had overrun the play. So there's just no one to help him. And, you know, you look at a play like that and you say, my goodness, even though the Chiefs offense just absolutely stunk up the joint, like there's no debating that. The Chiefs offense, that was barely football. That was hard to
watch.
They
lacked.
Yeah. I mean, they fell apart. But with that said, if the defense just makes one of those plays, it's the difference in the game, you know, and maybe that's not fair, but neither is life and neither is playoff football. The reality of it is the weakest single unit in that entire game was the Bengals offensive line. And the Chiefs really didn't take advantage of it. Now they created pressure and Jones had he created a lot of havoc, but if you don't finish plays, then if you don't finish plays, then you don't finish the game. And, you know, to me, that was a big story. You know, Burrow got sacked 9 times against the Titans. But now nobody's confusing the Chiefs defensive line with the Titans off, or I'm sorry, the Chiefs defensive line with the Titans defensive line, but to only get Burrow down to the turf one time, you know, that's a pretty big failure. Cause that's just a very poor offensive line. But I think the biggest story, if I could just pick one thing, the Bengals defensively basically made the decision that they're going to double Kelsey, they're going to double Hill, they're not going to give them easy receptions and easy plays, and they're just going to completely ignore the run game. I mean, and to an extent that is just like hard to believe happened in a professional game. And Andy Reid's a Hall of Fame coach. He's done great things for Kansas City. But unfortunately, he'll always be known for this. In scenarios that it's obvious you should run the ball, he just doesn't run the ball. And there was a lot of that. And then the other thing I would say is, not to be waffling here, but Andy Reid, to his credit, also called a lot of RPOs, which gave Mahomes the ability to hand off. And Mahomes was pulling the ball out and throwing it when they could have been getting 6 and 7 and 8 yards every time he handed it off. Because if you look, I mean, I think to me the most discouraging part, so they got to overtime, they win the coin toss, right?
And, according to Josh Allen.
Yeah, yeah. So you win the coin toss, you get the ball in overtime. And so here's my whole thing. You're in overtime. At that point, whatever happened before that really doesn't matter. You played a good first half. You played a really bad second half. But who cares? You're in overtime and you have the ball. If you win the game, nobody cares about any of that. And what do? They don't learn a thing from the entire second half. I mean,
no adjustment.
Nothing. I mean, not a thing. It's like putting your hand on a hot stove and seeing how long you can hold it there. And somebody comes and says, oh my goodness, get your hand off that stove. And they pull it off and you say, no, thanks. I want to put my hand back on this hot stove. I like the pain. Because, again, you look at the RPOs they ran at the beginning of overtime. The Chiefs offensive line had the Bengals defensive line 4 or 5 yards downfield. McKinnon, if he gets the ball on the ground, he's going to get – in my mind, I don't think the Chiefs should have thrown a pass until they got to third down. You know, if you run the ball twice, you're probably getting a first down. You know, just let your line – you know, both defenses by that point in overtime are gassed. Run the ball. You probably – at the very least, you get into field goal range before you might have to consider going back to a more balanced offense. But just run the football, you know. And unfortunately, I think that's going to be the hard lesson for Mahomes. And you know, it's funny. With Brady retiring recently, everyone talks about the things that made him great. And some people would say, well, his accuracy on the short and mid-range throws is just impeccable, his pocket presence. But the other thing that Tom Brady was so good about, you know, how many times did we watch him over the years where he was just willing to take 4 yard run after 4 yard run after 4 yard run? And I think the harsh lesson that Mahomes is going to have to learn is like, look, I could have had 5 and 6 and 7 yard runs basically given to me, and I wasn't willing to take those. And, you know, and I'm not saying it's just Mahomes' fault because, you know, there were some drop balls in the second half and, you know, some different. Not everything was his fault, but if you're the quarterback, you have to be a phenomenal decision maker. And part of that decision is, you know, not forcing throws into a defense that is not forcing throws into a defense that is completely and totally ignoring the run game. So, you know, hopefully he learns from it. In regards to Andy Reid, I mean, even just today, I know I'm going back and forth, and I don't want to be a hypocrite, but, you know, one side of me says Andy Reid will just never learn his lesson. You know, there are times that you just run the ball, even if it's not pretty. The pro Andy Reid side would say, well, if you look back at some of those pass plays that were called, there are a couple times that Mecole Hardman had touchdowns, and Mahomes left a clean pocket and never looked at him. So that's not Andy Reid's fault. You know, you call a play to dial up a touchdown, and your players let you down. That's not his fault. So, you know, my personal view is you run the ball because it slows down the game and it gives your quarterback a chance to reset. Because anyone watching the game, I mean, I was watching the game with, you know, family, and some of them watch a lot of football, and some of them watch not much at all. And, you know, my mother-in-law turned to me and said, and now keep in mind, she's not watching a lot of football, but she says, is he always this wild, you know, about Mahomes? And I was like, no, normally as a Chiefs fan, you expect him to make a vast majority of the plays. So my point is sometimes the run game can just be used to settle your quarterback back down too. You know, he's missing all these throws and he's leaving a clean pocket when there's no pressure. So run the ball a couple times, get a couple first downs, just run the ball 6 times in a row and get 2 first downs and then get back in a rhythm. You know, when your quarterback gets to a point where he's so frazzled that he can't even throw a screen pass, you got to do something to calm him down. And they just didn't. They didn't do that.
Wow. Now that The season's over for the Chiefs. What changes can they do to improve and perhaps make it to the Super Bowl next year?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's two things. The two positions, if I could just – now, I think they could use some more talent in the secondary, but I don't think that's the number one issue. To me, the pass rush and the running back group. You know, McKinnon had a nice run at the end of the year, but he's not the long-term answer. You know, he doesn't stay healthy consistently. Clyde Edwards-Helaire should probably be a role player, not a bell cow. And Darrell Williams is the same. You know, he's probably a role player. I mean, he's a good role player, but I don't think you want any – none of the running backs the Chiefs have can be, like, the guy. So whether you use the draft, you know, I'm biased here, but if I were the Chiefs, it sure sounds like the Giants might move on from Saquon Barkley. If he gets outright cut, I don't think a lot of teams are going to be willing to offer him a lot of money because of the injury history. If he gets a reasonable number, I would go, you know, that's a guy I'd look at if I were the Chiefs, because injuries are always a risk, and especially with running backs, some of them just never bounce back.
You think the Giants are going to move on from him?
Yeah, I mean, just from what it seems like. Now, they may be trying – maybe somebody will trade a late pick for him, too. You just don't know. But the guy's only 25 years old, and he was an elite talent. So sometimes you take a chance on an elite talent that's only 25 years old, and you hope that you can get him healthy. Now, could it blow up in your face? Sure, it could. But you have to do something. You can't just keep going on with the group they have. And then the second part, and I think the bigger part, is the pass rush. I mean, you have Chris Jones, who's just wrecking people. And you have Melvin Ingram, who had made a very positive difference. And then, unfortunately, there was a 3 or 4 week span where it looked like Frank Clark was coming back and he was getting his groove back. But then the playoffs came and he just evaporated, you know. He wasn't
rust.
Heard from again. So you have to find, in today's NFL, the way teams throw the ball, and the Chiefs are built to score on offense, get a lead, and then hit the quarterback. I mean, that's what's lost in all this. The Chiefs had an 18-point lead, and yes, the offense fell on its face, but a lot of teams with an 18-point lead, their pass rush would just take over the game. You know, because that Bengals offensive line, it's just not good, you know, so you should dominate that position, and they did. So to me, whether they use the draft, it does sound like this year, I'm not deep into the draft where I can give you a bunch of names and players, but it does sound as though it's a good year to grab a couple defensive linemen. And you just never know what veteran becomes available, whether it's free agency or a trade. But they have to, I mean, if you build your team to score a bunch on offense and then hit the quarterback, well, then you have to hit the quarterback. And the Chiefs just stink at hitting the quarterback right now this year. So Chris Jones is an elite talent, but you got to get him some help. You have to get him some help. And I think running back is important, because when Andy Reid had Kareem Hunt, he did lean on him when they needed to. So I hope – and again, I could be completely wrong. This could be fool's gold. I think if they get a true talent at running back, that he would lean on them a little bit more when they need them.
True RB1.
Yes, definitely. They need, yeah. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire can be a role player, and so can Darrell Williams, but they can't be your.
Yeah, that's something that I've noticed. Since Kareem Hunt left, it's been hard for you guys to fill that hole.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs have been chasing their tail at running back since Hunt was let go. I mean, even Damian Williams had a really nice playoff run and probably played the best game of his life in the Super Bowl. So that was great timing. But even Damian Williams on a game-to-game, week-to-week basis was not that guy, you know. So they've been chasing their tail ever since Kareem left town.
Here's some Chiefs offseason news. Former Chiefs quarterbacks coach Mike Kafka went to the New York Giants to become the offensive coordinator. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a loss, because I thought Bieniemy would get a job and then Kafka would be the new offensive coordinator. So we'll see. I don't know if Bieniemy is going to stay in Kansas City, because his contract's actually up now. Not sure what'll happen there.
He's not going to the
Losing
Saints.
Kafka. Well, yeah, I thought he was going to go to the Saints, but then it, you know, the
I heard he has a lot
didn't
of
work
personal
out.
issues or something that's difficult to hire him. Is that true?
Yeah, I'm not going to get.
Okay.
I don't think any of that's worth. I don't think any of that's worth talking about.
I understand.
I just with Kafka though, the one thing that stuck out to me is like when Mahomes has talked, he's mentioned his name specifically. So that's definitely a loss. So they're going to have to replace that voice. And I think there's been a lot of folks that feel the Chiefs could use some new faces, though, in their coaching staff. Now they have to be good. You know, obviously, if you just bring in some trash bag that's just a new face, it doesn't help you. But they could probably they need an infusion of some new ideas and new ways to use the talent they have.
Correct. Also, Tyrann Mathieu is possibly leaving Kansas City. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I'll tell you what, if you look at the entire list of free agents with the Chiefs, you know, the Honey Badger is the one that I'm torn on it. You have to be really careful about paying guys that are getting close to 30 and are going to finish their contract over 30. You start to have a major injury risk and their decline, you know, they lose one step and that makes all the difference. I'm just going to kind of see what happens with that one. I won't be surprised either way. If he wants to be the highest paid safety in the NFL, I don't believe that will be with Kansas City, especially since they got burnt. Now, I'm not saying it was Eric Berry's fault, but, you know, they made Berry the highest paid safety in the NFL, and they got 1 year out of that contract, and then, you know, his health fell off a cliff. Now, I'm not saying that's Berry's fault. I'm just saying it's an unfortunate reality of playing – or paying older players. If I had to guess, if I had to just say yes or no, is Tyrann Mathieu back with the team? I think he will be. And the biggest part of that is because Clark Hunt has mentioned during the season that he would even get involved in the negotiations at some point. I just think, you know, Tyrann Mathieu is just one of those guys that, and this term gets thrown around too much, but I think he's truly important to the team, in the locker room, in the community, and those things. Play wise, I think he's still really good. Maybe he's not in his prime anymore. I still think he's really good. But if he really is seeking top dollar, it wouldn't completely shock me if somebody else just gives him more money.
Let's see what happens in the offseason for the Chiefs. Things are moving along. Let's head into the big game after Jeff seen the Bengals not destroy but beat the Chiefs, going up against a talented Rams who are in a win-now mode. What do you think will happen on Sunday?
I like the Rams, and the biggest reason is this. So the Bengals made their way through the AFC playing ugly ball. You know, the game against the Raiders came down to the last play. The game against the Titans came down to the last second. The game against the Chiefs came down to overtime. And that's not to take anything away from them, because obviously winning ugly is still winning.
Can they replicate that against the Rams?
So maybe if Stafford like really falls apart, they could. But the difference, I look at, so the Chiefs and Rams would be the two most talented teams that they've played. I think the difference between playing the Rams, though, if the Bengals try that drop eight, you know, say they drop eight and double Beckham and Cup, you know, they just use the same strategy they used against the Chiefs. The Rams will run the ball on you. I mean, the Rams will, you know, they don't care if you make them run the ball 10 times in a row. They'll do that. And that's the difference. The Bengals were able to take advantage of the Chiefs because the Chiefs coaches and some players weren't willing to do something different to beat them. I think if they do the same thing to the Rams will just say, okay, we'll just go down the field running the ball and score that way. And defensively, so I mentioned earlier, Chris Jones wrecked the game, but nobody helped him. Well, the Rams are going to have Aaron Donald and Von Miller. Von Miller's played better than I expected. Not that I thought he was washed up, but he still looked really good
for his age.
Yeah, I mean, just altogether, he's been great. He's looked great. So I look at that, and I just say, you know, I'm not saying it'll be a game like the Titans where Burrow gets sacked 9 times, but he's going to be under consistent pressure. And the Rams' defensive line, I don't think will have the failures that the Chiefs' defensive line did.
Quite interesting. We'll go into the scoreline prediction a little bit later in the show. Aaron Rodgers won the MVP last night. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I mean, it's a regular season award. Rodgers was phenomenal this year. I know a lot of people talk about all the other stuff, non-football things that he got attention for, but yeah, he's a great quarterback. And I know he didn't finish the year the way he wanted to in the playoffs, but he was great again this year.
Mike Vrabel, coach of the year.
Absolutely. I mean, I know the Titans, unfortunately, when your quarterback just completely falls apart like Tannehill did, you go home early. But, I mean, the Titans, I didn't fact check this, but I saw multiple people say the Titans lost the most snaps due to injury of any team in NFL history.
Wow.
And I would have to – I don't know even how to look up if that's completely accurate. But – the point is, even if that's not completely right, the number of injuries that they had was just astounding. And not just players, but key players. And they still ended up with the one seed in the AFC. So even though they didn't get as far as they wanted to, that's a phenomenal job by Vrabel. I think he's a great coach.
Great coach. Of course, the Titans had a good season. Without their big stars, I believe they had to use like 91 different players or something.
That sounds right. It was incredible. I mean, that's almost having to pull a new player for every position on your roster. You only have 52 guys on your roster. It's nuts.
Great. Yeah, pretty impressive by the Tennessee Titans. Hopefully they will do well next year. All right, new coach hires, Chicago Bears, Matt Eberflus. Broncos hired Hackett, Texans Lovie Smith, Jaguars Doug Peterson, Raiders Josh McDaniels, Miami Dolphins Mike McDaniel, Vikings Kevin O'Connell, Saints Coach Allen, and the Giants Brian Hable. Which of these hires do you like the best?
Peterson.
Why?
Definitely Peterson. I mean, he went to Philly, won a Super Bowl. You know, they went all in, and for whatever reason, they didn't keep him around for the rebuild. But I think Peterson's a truly great coach. You know, he's like Andy Reid, but I think a little bit more willing to adapt. And, yeah, I think he's going to get the Jags turned around. And that division can be had. That's the other thing. No one in that division is going to run. You know, the Texans, I don't know what the heck they're doing. I mean, they're going to have another rough year. And, Titans, obviously, the Titans have a shelf life with Henry and Julio Jones, and who knows what Tannehill's going to, you know, do next.
The Dolphin Tannehill or the Titans Tannehill? We don't know what we're going to get.
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, he's obviously going to be there this year because there's no way they can get rid of him with his contract, but this might be it for him. And then you have, you know, the Colts with Wentz, which – you know, 1 week you get MVP candidate Wentz, and then the next week you get, you know, how the heck did we let him on the bus Wentz?
Or how did we lose against the Jaguars?
Yeah, exactly. And when it mattered the most, they didn't get it done. So the Jaguars, even though they've been bad for a while, I think Peterson's the right guy, and I think he'll do well with Lawrence. And yeah, I think Peterson was a great hire for them.
Yeah, Jaguars definitely in a conference that's doable. Maybe not first, but second place might be a good position to be in for the that tough division, the south of the AFC. All right, so let's go to the Super Bowl predictions, Jeff. Your score line, looking forward to this. A lot of people have been saying like 4 points, three. How do you have it?
I think it'll be like a 31-24 game with the Rams winning. And I think Burrow will make some plays because the Rams have really had a lot of injuries in the secondary and they're not super deep. But when you look at the Bengals against every team that wasn't Kansas City, he was under constant pressure. And I just think the Rams defensive line will be the difference in the game.
We'll see a Bengals-Chiefs rivalry down the road.
Maybe. I mean, the Bills are going to be around. The Ravens, the Ravens were decimated by injuries this year, so they're going to be around. I'm not necessarily a huge Mac Jones believer, but if he were to take another step, the Patriots could kind of get back in that conversation too.
So he came in second place in the offensive rookie player of the year, I think, last night.
Yeah.
I forget, the first one was Ja'Marr Chase, which
he
fantastic.
earned it. He was phenomenal. Yeah, I don't see how you couldn't give it to him.
And I was saying, Chase is the Chiefs killer. And you're like, nah, he didn't do much against the Chiefs.
The first game he did, the playoff game, he really, I mean, he had a good game, but he didn't do anything crazy.
Did you see a lot of parallels between that first and that championship game between the Chiefs and Bengals, or you?
I don't, I mean, the first game, I don't know. The first game, they just had a couple plays get away from them. The second game was just an all-out disaster in the second half. So, I mean, the playoff game was worse in my opinion. I mean,
Interesting.
they just, yeah, I think their stubbornness ultimately cost them that game. I
That
mean,
is probably the
it's
right word, by the way. I think everyone says
the
it. Yeah.
pride and stubbornness cost them that game, you know.
In the NFL, it's anyone game. It's just anyone's game. You got to
Yep,
play to the
yep.
last minute, and touchdowns changes games a lot.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
All right, Jeff Favre, what is the best way to reach you online to get your Super Bowl recipes?
I better be. I'll tell you, I haven't used my smoker in a while. It's been cold. I need to get it running. The best way to follow along is at JT Favre on Twitter.
And you can reach us at thesportscast.net or on our Twitter, thesportscast1. Live tweeting. I'll be live tweeting the game for the on the Sportscast One, and we'll see what happens. But it should be a good game. Hopefully, a close one. The one thing that gets me about this game is that Burrow and Chase has not lost a single elimination playoff game yet. That was what really gets me.
I mean, they're gamers, man. There's no doubt about that. They are gamers.
There's something about it, and it's funny. This Joe Burrow reminds me of Joe Namath. I don't know.
We'll see, man.
Joe Cool.
We'll see. Yeah,
Okay.
we'll see. We'll see.
All right, Jeff. Thanks for coming on. Have a great Super Bowl.
All right, thank you.